Good morning, family. I greet you in that wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to be back and to continue sharing on this message, re-establishing the foundations of God's spiritual house. Yes, the greatest attacks are about to hit the church, God's spiritual house, and it is so important that our foundation of the house has to be solid, has to be set on a rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. We've already established that. And we spoke about the foundation having four key aspects. One, servanthood and humility. Secondly, worship that is sincere, deep, and that takes you to an elevation that is higher than the natural. Thirdly, we spoke about having a very ordered prayer life that connects two realms, heaven and earth, and always there's an evoking of a response from the higher dimension, because blessings always come from the greater to the lesser. And fourthly, another dimension must be grace that comes through a man, grace that comes through a man. Jesus was, according to John 1:14, a man full of truth and full of grace. And we have to have that built in our foundation. So the Bible also tells us that we should be having no other foundation except Jesus Christ. Now, we've covered that in detail. So let's continue this and find out through God's word the importance of building correctly, of building the house of God. And of course, when the storms come, we won't be destroyed, we won't be perplexed, there won't be disorientation in us. We know how to smile and to have the peace of God in the midst of the attacks that will come. The Bible says that we have to rule in the midst of our enemies. Yes, we cannot run away. We cannot complain. We cannot in any way, as sons of God, be filled with anxiety and worry. No. We have to learn how to stand in the midst of the storm. We have to learn how to flow in the power of the Almighty God. We have to know how to have dominion and to exercise our dominion while we are under siege or under attack. Yes, these things are coming because the days of the enemy has been numbered. And so today, let us be assured that our building, our spiritual house, has the foundation solid and concrete and established on our rock, who is Jesus Christ. So we spoke about this, and we spoke about God wanting us to be He's building, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Whenever men erect a building, they must first lay a proper foundation. Now, we have discussed this. Since this is a natural principle understood by many, God chooses to use it to teach a great spiritual truth so that we are not caught unaware. We are well informed by God's word that we have to have the right foundation. We have to build our personal lives, our marriage, our domestic homes, the lives of our descendants, our children, and the spiritual house, which is the place where we gather corporately. We have to make sure that it's always built on the right, on the proper foundation. So when we come to 1 Peter 2:5, we read the following scripture, 1 Peter 2:5. And I'm reading from the Amplified. You believers, so the word of God is addressing believers, like living stones, you are being built up into a spiritual house. Now note the words living stones and not bricks. When you go to Genesis, we find out that concerning the Tower of Babel, they were using baked bricks to build. Now we are not baked bricks; we are living stones. Peter makes the correct profiles us correctly as living stones, and we are being built up into a spiritual house. Remember, we are not the natural building. Don't place any emphasis on the natural building where we gather as the spiritual house. So here we can word this as follows. We gather in a building as a spiritual house made up of living stones to offer sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. So let me read the scripture again from the Amplified. You believers, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy and dedicated priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. So our sacrifices, our spiritual sacrifices, which I will discuss shortly, has to be always acceptable and pleasing to God. You may bring your sacrifices, but if it's not acceptable and pleasing to God, it will not be accepted. Now remember, you are, as living stones, a spiritual house. Another word for a spiritual house is a holy and dedicated priesthood. A reference, another reference, holy and dedicated priesthood. And you know that the priesthood always has a function of offering sacrifices. That's why if you are part of a priesthood, listen, you've got to come in a holy and acceptable way, with humility, with reverence, and of course with an open heart. You cannot disguise anything with God. You cannot come in a way to woodwink God. You cannot do that, beloved. We all have to come as a holy and dedicated priesthood. So when we gather as one priesthood, coming to offer sacrifices to God whenever we gather on a Sunday, on a Wednesday, or whenever we come together as a body, so that we are built up, we are being built up, we are being edified, we are being shaped, we are being strengthened as a spiritual house, okay? So the Word of God is telling us in this passage of Scripture that we are a good spiritual house. It helps to consider the word house because it means something totally different from a common definition. Most common, we think of a building people live in. House can just as easily mean dynasty or a dynasty, as in the house of David. Now, God is building us up into a dynasty, a spiritual house, a spiritual family. Now say that after me. Dynasty, spiritual house, spiritual family. One that we know will last forever. So the purpose, as we said, is for us to offer up acceptable spiritual sacrifices to God through Christ. Now verse 9 of 1 Peter 2 confirms that we are already a royal priesthood. Now, royal priesthood talks about, immediately when you see the words royal and priesthood, there is two dimensions. King has to do with royal, and priesthood, of course. So royal priesthood, straight away, we are of an order called the Melchizedek order. I want to discuss that in depth because we have to be acquainted with our priesthood and our ability to reign as the royal priesthood. This is especially important in light of the sacrifices, because those sacrifices were the activity of the priesthood under the old covenant. So priesthood always prepare themselves, and we will talk more when we discuss in depth on the royal priesthood. We will discuss the Old Testament and the role of the priest in the Old Testament, and we look at ourselves and the role we play in the new covenant as the royal priesthood. Amen. Powerful, isn't it? Now, I'm stressing that because there are so many benefits, there are so many advantages of being part of a royal priesthood. Okay, so, you know, our Heavenly Father cares more for you than your earthly biological father. Let me say something to you parents. God, the Heavenly Father, loves your children more than you love them. And I want you to know, He will provide better for your children than you provide. And I want you to know today that God has made provision for both you and your children to live above the standard that the world has set for us. Come on, we belong to a royal priesthood. This is a good place to say amen and to adjust your lives so that you align yourself to receive all the benefits of being part of a royal priesthood. I do not want any one of you just to be a spectator in this transaction, in this economy. No, you must be part of it. You must come into it and enjoy the benefits of being part of a royal priesthood. Those priests went through the entire ritual physically. God does not require us to follow those procedures anymore. Yet, He does require us to understand the spiritual concepts and apply them to the best of our ability. Why? Because we are being built up into a spiritual family whose function is to glorify God. How? By offering spiritual sacrifices that He will accept. Now, important point to remember, and I want to stress that, I mentioned that earlier on, you could offer your sacrifices. You could offer all your sacrifices, but if it's not acceptable and if it's not pleasing to God, it's not going to be accepted by God. Okay, so it has to be approved. Yes, your sacrifices, you cannot get away. If you are saying you're a royal priesthood, there has to be sacrifices. Now, what are these spiritual sacrifices? I have chosen all of these sacrifices while going through the New Testament. I've looked at all the sacrifices, and I want to bring these to you in this message today. These are the sacrifices. The first one, the first sacrifice is your bodies. Your bodies. Now let's turn to scripture. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Let's see how fast you could turn to those scriptures and read together with me. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. So the first spiritual sacrifice you as a royal priesthood must offer in a spiritual family. That's why you cannot come into a corporate gathering casual without preparing yourself, without seeing yourself as clean, holy, acceptable. When you come together as a royal priesthood, there are certain conditions, and we won't discuss that today. But I want to take a session to discuss how you ought to be coming into a corporate gathering. I've noticed, without condemning anyone, I've noticed that people come in anyhow, they sit anyhow, they are not concerned about drawing and impartation, connecting in a service. They come as spectators. Now, that's not what a royal priesthood should be doing. We are a spiritual house. GMDS should be rearranged as a spiritual house. It's a spiritual house. And the royal priesthood gathers there on a Sunday morning, and the royal and priest come together, and we offer our sacrifices, our spiritual sacrifice. Let's say, so the first one, okay, children, have you got that? Young people, you've got that? Our seniors, have you got that? We come as a royal priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 talks about sacrificing your bodies. Paul speaking, I beseech you therefore, brethren. So he's talking to a body. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a, not dead sacrifice, living sacrifice. In other words, your sacrifice has to be yourself. Your body as a living sacrifice must be offered holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's not something way out, something that is extravagant. It's a reasonable service God is asking. Come on, when you come here, you bring your body as a living sacrifice. You lay it on God's altar. It must be holy and acceptable to God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you've got that? Your bodies must be sacrificed to God. So the holy priesthood, you cannot do what you want with your bodies. You can't allow any filth to dominate in your bodies. You can't allow your bodies to become vessels of dishonor. No, your bodies must be vessels of honor. Okay. Secondly, the second spiritual sacrifice you bring in is a sacrifice of praise. My heart, is affected sometimes when I see people just come haphazardly inside. They have not prepared their bodies. They have not prepared their praises to be offered to God. They don't participate in the service. They don't connect to the word of God. They are looking all over. They are waiting just to get out. No, you cannot do that. Now let's go to the scripture to verify what I'm saying. So go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Yes, turn to Hebrews 13, 15. 1, 2, 3. Come on, get there right now in your Bibles with your pens. Underline Hebrews 13, 15. Let's read together. Therefore, by him, capital letter H-I-M, sorry, in your Bible, let us continually. What is the meaning of continually? Come on. It means don't stop. It must go on and on. There's no expiry date for this. You must continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to him. Let's pause for a moment. Number one, from this verse, you cannot stop giving praise. So whether you are in your personal closet, whether in your family altar, whether you are in your ministry environment, because all of us are full-time, your workplace is your ministry environment, whether you're in your ministry environment or you are in the spiritual house as a corporate gathering, you must continually offer the sacrifice of praise. Why does it become a sacrifice of praise? Because you're bringing it to lay it at the altar before God as a holy priesthood. No priest brings a comes to God without a sacrifice. And God is saying, in the new covenant, I want your praise, praises. Praises means boasting indirectly, boasting and talking about the goodness of God to others. That's your praise. So when you come together, you start to praise him amongst ourselves in the spiritual house, but also wherever you are placed, it becomes a place of offering your sacrifice of praise. This is the fruit of our lips. So in other words, what fruit does you have? You cannot have cursing. You cannot have through these lips. Your fruit, what qualitative fruit will always be praise to God. Fruit that is spoiled won't be praise, will be any other thing that comes out to your lips. Swearing, shouting, cursing, slandering, all the other things should never be coming through your lips. Do you understand that? And finally, your sacrifice of praise, praise must be accompanied with thanksgiving, giving thanks to his name. So here we find that we have to do this continually, nonstop. Our praise must be sacrificed. You know, sometimes when you're going through a tough time and you start to praise God, it becomes a sacrifice. It's not easy. It's hard when you have a financial problem, when you have a domestic problem, when you have a problem with your children. That's a time God wants us to offer a praise to him, praising him, talking about him, boasting about him, giving a good report about him, because that becomes our sacrifice. Hallelujah. And that sacrifice must be verbalized. It must become the fruit of our lips, and it must be accompanied with thanksgiving. Have you got that? The third sacrifice that must come from us as the holy royal priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood, we have to offer good works and possessions as our sacrifice. So first, your bodies. Second, your praise. Thirdly, you have to offer your good works and your possessions. Now let's go to Hebrews again, right where you were, and go to the next verse, verse 16. And this is what the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying. Do not forget, that's an instruction, to do good and to share. For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. God is well pleased when you do good. It means it's talking about your possessions, and it's talking about your possessions, and it's talking about your good works, all your good works and your possessions. Come on, I want you this week, find something in your home that you can share. If it's an outfit that you haven't worn for a year, take that and bless somebody. Okay, would you do that? If do good, that means share your possessions. Share your possessions. Take an offering this week. Prepare an offering of at least 100 rand. Okay, take it to someone and just bless them. Bless them who have a need. Say, I bless you today. Now, this is not tokenism or not just, I want to do this because pastor is telling me. We need to train ourselves in holiness, train ourselves in righteous deeds, train ourselves. So you got to embarrass your own flesh by saying to your flesh, shut up, keep quiet, don't interfere. And while your spirit is being connected to the word of God. Are you with me? But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. So this is another thing, beloved, that you must do. God is well pleased when you start to share your possessions and you do good works for others. Amen. It becomes a sacrifice. It may be, you may not have much, but start to do that, because it's one of the characteristics of a good spiritual house. When you learn how to bless others, you're good with your good works and with your possessions. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the next sacrifice. Next sacrifice is people you have led to Christ. Now, you may be doing all this. You may be offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. You may be praising God. You may be blessing those with some stuff that you have. You may be feeding the poor, giving blankets out, or blessing those that come to your gate. But how about this sacrifice? people you have led to Christ. And I know some of us are bankrupt in this avenue. We have nothing to offer to Christ of the souls we have brought to him. Wow, come on, beloved. This is where we may come short as the royal priesthood, as the spiritual living stones, as believers. We may come short in this one avenue. When God says, offer to me the people you have led to Christ, our hands are empty. Our vessels are empty. We have not even one soul to offer to Christ that we have led to the Lord. I know the condition of our household. Many, if not most of you, have not brought one soul to Christ. Okay? And this is where our house will be judged negatively. We need to bring, this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 15, verse 15 and 16. Still, on the same points I have written to you very boldly and without reservation to remind you about them again. I'm reading from the Amplified. Because of the grace that was given to me from God to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, I minister as a priest. So in other words, straight away when you see the word priest, it means that he has to prepare sacrifice. And this is what he's saying. I minister as a priest the gospel of God in order that my offering, what offering is going to bring now? The offering of the Gentiles, the people that he brought to Jesus Christ. I minister as a priest by bringing my offering of the people I led to the Lord, that they may become acceptable to him, sanctified, made holy, set apart for his purpose by the Holy Spirit. So here from this, from Paul's writing, he's saying to the Romans and to the rest of the church, there has to be the offering of the souls you bring before God. So I know that some of you have won many souls to God, brought many souls to Christ. And now to complete the transaction, won't you just bring them and offer them to God, calling out each name and saying, Father, I offer John to you. I offer Susan to you. I offer Ramba to you. I offer Pushpa to you. I offer James to you. I offer these people to you that I have brought out from darkness to light. And then they become sanctified and they become acceptable. There's a cutting off of the past. There's a induction. There's a reorientation in them. There is an acceptance of them into the family of God. So come on, each one of us can lead at least one soul to the Lord. After you win them, you bring them as an offering, you offer them to God so that the merits against your name will be increased. There is a Lamb's Book of Life, and there will be the opening of the Lamb's Book of Life. And one of the things that's going to be discussed is, have you won souls for God? There is a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And beloved, I do not want you to default in this area. Yes, I want you to be accepted. Enter into my rest, your faithful servant. You've been faithful in winning souls and bringing people before me into the kingdom and offering them to me. Okay? The next thing that we have to offer as a spiritual sacrifice in as a royal priesthood unto God is found in Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. And I'm reading from the Amplified again. Another angel came and stood at the altar. When you see the word altar, underline that, straight away there must be a sacrifice. You cannot leave an altar empty. Now the altar of God has to always have a sacrifice. Come on, come on. You've got to learn this. You've got to get acquainted with you being part of a royal priesthood. You cannot allow the altar to be empty. There must be an altar, there must be sacrifice, and there must be fire. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When Abraham was taking Isaac up to offer him on Mount Moriah, the boy turned around to his dad and he said to his dad, "Dad, we have the wood to build the altar. We have the stuff to make the, you know, to build the altar. But where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham was so wise, he said to his son, "God will provide." And God did provide. Hallelujah. Okay. So another angel came and stood at the altar. He had a golden censer and much incense was given to him. So whenever you read the word incense, it always has symbolic of prayer, 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 prayer. Incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints, God's people, on the golden altar in front of the throne. So in front of the throne, in the courts of heaven, there is a golden altar. Hallelujah. Oh, shakatala moraka siendele bunda. Father, in Jesus' name, I want, Lord, our prayers to be taken into onto place on that golden altar every time we pray. We don't just want to be to verbalize stuff clinically, mechanically, and for the sake of. No, we want every prayer we pray, beloved, to go onto that golden altar. So let's read that again. Another angel came, stood at the altar. He had a golden censer, and much incense was given to him so that he may add it to the prayers of all the saints. Who are saints? God's people, on the golden altar in front of the throne. And the smoke and the fragrant aroma of the incense with the prayer of the saints, God's people, ascended before God from the angel's hand. Now, this is symbolic, but it's speaking about prayer. And we must understand that our prayers are important. So what we do, what are we going to offer? We have to offer the sacrifice of prayers. So prayers are very important in the spiritual house. We also stress that when we discuss the four creatures, the creature of the face of a lion has to do with prayer, intercessory prayer, powerful prayers, breakthrough prayers, prayers that coincide with Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. So that's very, very important. Your prayers. Please, beloved, start praying. Start praying meaningful prayers. Start praying as one that's recruited in the royal priesthood of God. You can't ask for the benefits of being in a royal priesthood without bringing your prayers. Priests pray more than others. And as God's people, we have to develop the model of prayer. Prayer in our lives. Prayer in the morning, in the night. Prayer during the day. Prayer. Pray, pray, pray. So I pray to God that we will be willing to pray. And the final spiritual sacrifice that I have extracted is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. 4, verse 8. And let's just read that. Philippians 4, verse 8. It's your financial sacrifice. But I have received, Philippians 4:18, you've got that? But I have received everything in full and more. I am amply supplied, said the servant of God. This is Paul speaking as a servant of God. And beloved, it is so important that if we, as a royal priest, we cannot come without our finances as a sacrifice to God. Let me tell you something. God owns 100% of your finances. So when he asks you for 10%, he's testing your heart because he's telling you, take out from my spiritual bank account. The 100% is in my spiritual bank account because you belong to the Lord. Your finances belong to the Lord. Your assets belong to the Lord. Your children belong to the Lord. Your future belongs to God. Don't be arrogant. Don't be arrogant and resist the Lord. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So everything belongs to the Lord. So when the Lord says, and 10%, beloved, is not the old covenant. In the Old Testament, they offered 23.3% of all that they owned. 23.3% was offered. Prior to the law, when the patriarchs lived, Abraham offered 10% to Melchizedek. It's not part of the law. It was before the law. In the new covenant, God owns everything, but at least 10%. He's saying, continue to give that to me. We're following this from Abraham, because Abraham is our father. And if he gave 10% to Melchizedek, we will follow his example in the new covenant. Because you come into the new covenant, you see that Abraham is mentioned. And this offering is mentioned to Melchizedek when you go to the book of Hebrews. Okay? You read the book of Hebrews, you will find this in the book of Hebrews. So when God says, give me 10%, he's testing our hearts, whether we'll fight him. Because everything, and you can't say, I don't have. Because he says, well, what you earned is mine. Take out of mine and give me. I want to see the condition of your heart. So there is no such thing, I have nothing to give. You will walk outside the blessing when you don't follow the principle of sacrificing your finances. But I have received everything in full and more. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. They are the fragrant aroma of an offering. Hallelujah. They are a fragrant aroma of an offering, an acceptable sacrifice which God welcomes, in which he delights. Now, every time you bless the house, the spiritual house, if you are part of the spiritual house, you have to bless the house with your financial sacrifice. You have to, beloved, those that are not, you are in trouble with God, and you'll see the consequence of those things. Please, I beg you today not to falter. In fact, in all of you, you must offer your bodies, you must offer your praises, you must offer your good works and possessions, you must offer the people you have led to Christ, you must offer your prayers, and you must offer your financial giving to the Lord's work. So when you give, you can't just be frivolous and act as if you are deaf to the word of God. God is saying, whatever you bless the house with, and you bless the man of God. Yeah, Epaphroditus brought the gifts from the people to Paul. They became a fragrant aroma of an offering. You are offering to the house. And it was an acceptable sacrifice which God welcomes. Anything God welcomes, beloved, he blesses. He blesses. He's no man's debtor. He's a rewarder of them that follow the principles of the word. And God welcomes, and in which he delights. So these are the spiritual sacrifices that must be present in a spiritual house. So GMDS must be a good spiritual house, a dynasty, a spiritual family, a royal priesthood that offers spiritual sacrifice. If there's no spiritual sacrifice, it's not a spiritual house. You got that, okay? So we've covered that. So all spiritual sacrifices must be offered in an attitude of obedience, humility, and reverence. So you can't sacrifice and be disobedient. We will cover that next week on the whole story from 1 Samuel chapter 15 concerning Saul and how he lost his anointing and God departed from him because he tried to do sacrifices without being obedient to God. So obedience and your sacrifices brings forth your reward. Okay, humility is exceptionally important. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, shall pray, shall seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. The heavens will open. God hears those that are humble. Hallelujah. And of course, reverence, the fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God brings your prosperity. The fear of God opens the heart of the Father to you. And that is how important the sacrifices are. I think I need to stop right there. We've covered this message, and I think this is an important part of you adjusting your life to see that your bodies, your praises, your good works, your possessions, your people you led to the Lord, the prayers, and your finances all become spiritual sacrifices to God. If you need to discuss some of these things with me, if you need to repent because of your irresponsible conduct in the house of God, if you have degraded and relegated and defaulted on your sacrifices as a holy priesthood, you can discuss this with me and we can pray together. You can repent and start living properly so that the benefits of the priesthood comes into your life, your family, over your children, and over your worship in the house of God. God bless you richly. Enjoy the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.